I welcome the visitors. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. My name is Derek Johnson. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Thank you. I'm the chairman of our elder board here at Dearborn Covenant Church, and once again, I just want to say welcome. Thank you for fellowshipping and worshiping with us. We've been going through the book of Romans. We started the book of Romans 2 weeks ago. And so that's our journey for the remainder of the year until we complete it. So thank you, and we would invite you to come back and continue to worship with us and fellowship with us as you are led. And if you can't make it back, at least join in with us throughout the reading. I hope the entire family has begun reading through the book of Romans. How many have begun reading through the book of Romans? Awesome. How many have seen the videos that we sent out to you, maybe via Facebook or email? Not many. All right. When you have a moment, Chris sent out an email this week with the newsletter, and there are two videos. The two videos are an overview of the book of Romans. The first video is Romans 1 through 4, and the second video is the rest of the book, 5 through 16. So they're very well put together. The covenant invited us to read through the New Testament together, not only as a church, but as a denomination. And your elder team, we decided to kind of deviate a little bit from their plan of reading, beginning at the beginning with the Gospels, and we kind of tailored it to what we already had scheduled. So that's why we started with the book of Romans. So the intent is to read at your own pace, okay, and discuss and have conversations about what you read. You'll find several questions that I posted with the videos. And they're basically asking you to just point out what's new. What do you see? What is God revealing to you as you read through the scriptures? And they're also designed so that you can have conversation with your individual families, okay? But more than just your individual families, but you can also have discussion with one another, either in small group, on the Facebook posts, or in conversation with your church member, or not your church member, but those that you come in contact with at, you know, maybe at work or at school. You know, for me, one of the questions that I asked as I was preparing for the message was, how do we as humankind, how does man know there is and I'm going to use this in a broad sense right now, all right? But the question is, how does humankind, how do we know that there is something, someone greater than us? How do we know that he exists? How do we know there is a God? And I'm going to ask you the same question, but before I invite a response, think about that for a minute, because I got some interesting feedback when I asked that question this week at work, and then when I went to visit our Houston home family, though. And in case you don't know who the Houston home is, these are a group of individuals who are in need of care, and I visit them once a week, and we share scripture together, and we just have a beautiful time of fellowship. So if you're ever wanting to join me, I would invite you to come on down, and you'll meet some beautiful people. One person I just have grown an affinity to, and his name is Dave. And Dave, when I first got there, he didn't talk. Dave was just kind of withdrawn, maybe some mental challenges and things like that. But now he's open, and he talks, and you know, my heart kind of cracked yesterday when I left. Before I left, his daughter was there visiting. I hadn't met his daughter. Her name is Pat, and she was leaving, and she says, "Who loves you, Dad?" And Dave said, "You, God, and Derek." I kind of melted. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word, to read your word, to come to a level of understanding of what it is that you have revealed to us since the beginning of time, since you created all that we see and all that we know. We thank you for your redemptive plan of salvation by the shedding of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary. We thank you for each and every member here, each and every visitor here. We thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. And we just thank you for you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading of our word comes from Romans 1, and I'm going to begin at verse 18, and you can read with me. So, and I always invite you to stand for the reading of the word. So if you would please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Thank you. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. This is the reading of God's word. We thank you, Father, for it. Amen. You may be seated. So I just ask you the question, how do we know God? How do we know? Can any, give me your opinion, anybody? Yes. From his creation. All right. Anybody else?
He reveals himself to us.
Okay. All right. How?
He speaks to our heart, our soul, and our spirit.
Okay. Anybody else?
Through his word.
Okay. Anybody else?
Christ.
Through Christ. Okay.
Through answered prayer.
Anybody else?
Through his words.
Okay. So we have his word through creation, through second chances. All right. What is it about us as humans? What is it about us that we say there is a God? And like I said, I'm going to use that term loosely for a moment, because some would say there is no God, but They worship something else. They tend to look for something else. What is it about humans that just automatically says there is? Anybody have an idea? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody agree with that answer? Repeat that answer, Gene. Oh, I'm sorry. She said, Jean said that we're born with it. She said, there's something inside of us that says there is. Now, by a show of hands, who would agree with that? All right. I agree with that because Scripture tells us that. Amen. When we look at as we look at this, there are three main points that I want to that I plan to point out over the next 2 weeks. Today, I want to focus on just two of those. In this passage of Scripture, we find three things. Number one, God's wrath is revealed. All right? Number two, we find the knowability of God. That is our ability to know that He is, that there is a God. And number three, our familiarity with God. How familiar are we with God? You and I, individually, collectively, how familiar are we with God? So I've already asked you the question, how do we come to know God? And in this passage of Scripture, he points out, he said, beginning at verse 19, he said, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them." He's shown it to them. The word "know" used here in the Greek definition says that is an acquaintance. By an acquaintance, someone recognized by sight. I know Miranda. I know Jed. I know many of you. We're acquaintances, right? Just like I know each and every one of you and you know me, likewise, God is saying the same thing, and Paul is bringing that to our attention here as he points out our knowledge of the existence of Him who created us. God, in Acts 17, Paul says, what can be known about, actually, I back up. We find it here. What can be known about God is plain because He's shown it to them. In Acts 17, in the Areopagus, he pointed out, he said, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life, breath, and everything, and He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him." God has made Himself known through what is described as His general revelation. You guys just pointed out through creation. God created the heavens and earth. God has shown us through all His splendid glory, the firmament, the waters, the vegetables, the fruit, the light, the creeping and crawling things, the fish, the birds in the air. He gave us the moon to light us at night. He gave us the sun to give us light through the day. There are so many things around us that reveal who God is. And God says we know Him by our acquaintance with Him because of it. But is that enough? Is it enough from His creation to give us that intimate understanding of who God is? Is it enough to see that we have life been given to us from our Creator? In the beginning, like I said, He created the heavens and the earth. The testimony of our conscience provide God's moral standards, and we all have some knowledge that He exists. knowledge of his character and his moral standards, thus resulting in awareness of guilt before God. But like I said, is it enough? Is it enough to provide the answers of the solution to our guilt before God? In Genesis 3, if you would turn with me back to Genesis 3, we find in Genesis 3, in verse 22, he says, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Prior to that, God created man, and he had commanded us to have dominion over the earth. He gave us life by breathing into our nostrils after he created us from the dust of the dirt of the earth. And so that essence and the answer that Gene correctly, rightly answered was given to us. That desire to know who he is was breathed in us from the beginning of creation of mankind. And so there was something innately put into our DNA that calls us to know who he is. But we find back in Romans 1, he says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, right? He said, "For although they knew God, they did neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks, but in their thinking they became futile in their foolish hearts." This word to knew, it says that there's a personal experience that we have with someone. So beyond just mere acquaintances, there's this personal experience that we have with one another. We began to come into relationship. How many remember the acronym that I used, SWIM? Do you guys remember that? Anybody? No? Let me repeat it for you. SWIM says submit. We submit to God. It says walk. We walk with God. We become intimate. We have an intimate relationship with him, and we go on to maturity. All right? So we submit, we walk, we have an intimate relationship, and we grow in our maturity. Otherwise, all of this is basically the salvation or sanctification process that takes place in our lives. But back to this word, new, it's a personal experience, but it's also defined as an intimate relation. It's used in terms of sexual intercourse when they use it in the Hebrew. And God's desire for us in our relationship with him is to have this level of intimacy in our understanding of who he is. Amen. So we knew God, but we didn't honor him. Why? I would submit that we don't know in order to love, but we love in order to know. We don't know in order to love God. We love God in order to know him. When I was talking with the guys at the home yesterday, and I asked the questions that I asked of you guys just a few moments ago, And then I made this statement, and the question came up, what do you mean? It's like our relationship with our children. Our children, automatically, when they're born, they love us. And as they're growing, they're getting to know who we are. And so they don't stop loving us so that they might know us, but they love us and so that they know us even more. And we're the same with, my submission to you would be the same with our Father. We love him so that we might know him more, that we might grow in the grace and then the wisdom and then the knowledge of who he is, so that we might live out like Christ called us to, loving God and loving neighbor, doing righteousness and justice, showing grace and mercy, coming alongside my brother and my sister who is in need, understanding that those who don't know Christ, who, by the way, we were just like them, understanding that they need him just as much as we did. And this loving relationship that we have with God, we come to this understanding as we sit with him, as we read his word, as he shares with us his plan, as he works in our DNA, this loving transformation of who he is, his essence. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the roots, how we feed our roots. What we feed our roots is highly important. And if we don't properly nourish ourselves, then we will find ourselves like that fig tree that withered away and died. The fruit that we bear, what are we trying to produce? Some of the answers you guys said was that God reveals himself, and he does. He has revealed himself. We can find it all throughout Scripture. God revealed himself in Genesis 1 and 2 when he made man in creation. He walked with them. He taught them. He began to share himself with them, and as he told them what he wanted them to do. He revealed himself to Abram in Genesis 12 and 17. He again came back to him in Genesis 18, 1. He revealed himself through a burning bush to Moses in Exodus 3. He revealed himself to the people when he came down on the mountain, but they were afraid. He revealed himself through his son when his son was born, and likewise his son to the apostles. And then later on, he reveals himself to Paul so that he might share with those who are not like his Jewish brothers, Gentiles, each and every one of us, unless you are a Jewish heritage, we're all Gentiles, and we're thankful for the zeal that Paul had to share his message as he went throughout all the regions to share his message so that we might come to know who he is, which led to the question that I had, why? So that he might make himself known to us, so that we might have his word, so that we would be without excuse, so that we might be reconciled back to him. His invisible attributes, His eternal power and his name, his divine nature have been clearly perceived. You don't see him, you don't see God, yet you acknowledge him. There's something about us that says there is something, someone greater, there is a God. Instinctively, we know. We know because of the relationships. Relationships, not facts and reasons, are the key to reality. As we enter those relationships, knowledge of reality is unlocked. Knowing involves our whole selves wholly, a kind of inner understanding that consists of empathy, respect, love, and truthful imagining of one another. True knowing is love. Interpersonal resonance, interpenetration, rather than impersonal description. It is impossible to find truth without being in love. Love itself is knowledge. The more one loves, the more one knows. When we get ready to examine the third point, we're going to find that God's displeasure, God is displeased, God is angry because he revealed himself to us, to humankind, so that we might be in a covenant relationship with him, so that we might live forever, so that we might enjoy his gift for all time, not squander our inheritance like the prodigal son, but have everlasting life. But God is angry. And so because of it, because of our disobedience, because of mankind's disobedience, he reveals his wrath to us. And so when we get together next week, we're going to explore what happened and find out, talk about more about what it means to come into a right relationship. And as we began to explore Romans, Paul, through language of those of lawyers, he begins to show us how we come into a right relationship, how we come into this level of understanding of who God is and our responsibility to know him more, to have that intimate knowledge, to be in covenant with the Father as we are in covenant within the community. So how do we know God? How familiar are you with him? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Do you seek to have an intimate relationship with him? If you don't know him, I would submit to you, get to know him. If you don't understand the words that he says, ask him, God, I don't get it. What are you saying here? I really want to understand you more. And wait. Take a little bit of what he says, pray about it, meditate on it, and wait. He answers you. He speaks to us. Some would say he doesn't, but he does. He speaks to us. He speaks to me. I know he speaks to many of you. Many of you have had personal experience that you can testify to him speaking to your heart, to him sharing with you his love, and his desire for you individually. But more than just knowing by acquaintance, we really want to find that level of intimacy with him so that we might just really enjoy him forever. Amen. Worship team.